Hello, everyone. This week, we're talking about The Wolf of Snow Hollow, which just came out in October of 2020. Written by Jim Cummings. Directed by Jim Cummings. And starring Jim Cummings. But Ricky Lindholm and Robert Forster are in it, too. This movie tanked at the box office, but it's hard to say if that is because it came out during a pandemic and had a limited release, or if it was because people just didn't want to see it. Join us now as we talk about what we think about Jim Cummings wearing so many hats, whether or not werewolves being rapists is canon, and why on earth people would wear swimsuits in a hot tub when they're by themselves in the middle of the woods. Welcome to Fright Pub.
Welcome to Fright Pub, an intoxicating horror movie podcast.
Yeah. That was real good.
Hey. I tried.
Special popper good. Today was
special
our
popper.
was our guest. Our guest popper.
Okay. Can we call him a popper?
He's our special popper.
That's not
special popper.
We can't.
Wouldn't you like to be a popper too?
Okay.
Poppers are a drug thing, aren't they?
They're all
I don't know.
A drug and a sex thing.
I was gonna say it's a drug sex thing. It's a drug sex thing. Mm-hmm. Mike, you're a drug sex thing. Mike McBurney is our special drug sex thing on this episode.
Hey, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Hey. Oh, just wait.
Today's
well, I mean, if it's a drug sex thing, I guess you'll be having me.
We are having you.
Got it.
Everyone knows if there's a drug sex thing, you invite Mike McBurney.
That's news to me, but sure.
Today's movie is October 2020's movie, The Wolf of Snow Hollow. The reason I laugh at that is because this movie came out on October 6th of 2020. And they had done...
Nothing was coming out on October 6th of 2020.
Nothing that was being seen was coming out. You know what the budget for this movie was? You know what the budget for this movie was?
$2 million, right?
$2 million. And typically, horror movies, if they do well, get it, if they do poorly, get at least their budget times two back. And if they do okay, they get their budget times five back. And if it's a good movie, it's a 10x. Like, horror movies do it all the time. Guess what this movie made?
I think I know, so I'm not going to...
Drum roll.
$100,000.
Double it.
Double?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my.
It was only one-tenth of the budget.
That sounds right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This movie lost so much money.
Lost so much money.
I can't do math.
So, here's the question. Did it lose that money because it came out during the pandemic? Or would it have done that anyway?
Well, I had never heard... Like, I didn't... Did anybody hear about this movie coming out?
You put it on the list.
I put it on the list because I found it on another list.
Mike knew about it,
Mike
apparently.
Mike knew about it. Tell us about
it. So, it was... every year, right? I love horror movies. Every year you get to September, October, spooky season, and I'm like, I'm going to watch so many horror movies. I'm going to watch at least one horror movie a day. And it never happens.
No.
But of course, in 2020, it's like, oh yeah, no, I'm making a spreadsheet so that I don't accidentally rewatch something.
Nice.
And so I saw a preview of this. I was intrigued. And it was after it had come out.
So where did you see the preview?
Oh, boy. Probably like in a
YouPorn.
Hulu ad or YouPorn, I guess.
Now we're sponsored by YouPorn.
As I've learned, is apparently very user-friendly. So it's probably trying to help
a very user-friendly interface.
Thank you for listening to the last episode. I really appreciate the homework you've done before you came on to the show.
That's so no, fun. That one stays in forever.
We know your preferences.
So, I don't know. I saw it. I was like, that looks intriguing. And Ricky Lindholm's in it. And Robert Forster's in it. The cinematography looks good. So I looked it up, right, on Just Watch. Like, okay, what streaming service is this on? Nothing. I have to pay for it. Never mind. I'll watch it at some point. But then a friend of mine, Scott, who used to be a cook at Ryan's Pub. I think I showed you once, used to make these crazy sandwiches.
Oh, yeah.
That were like grilled cheese with burgers in between and chicken tenders and whatnot.
He shifts in paradigms.
Shout out Scott. He's amazing. he's like, hey, I watched The Wolf of Snow Hollow the other night. Bought it randomly. You got to come over and watch it. It's bananas. And I was like, oh, yes. I want to see this movie. You know, I've been curious. So stopped over to his place. Had to be like early summer 2020. Watched it. Laughed a lot. Went, huh? A lot. And at the end of it, he was like, do you want the digital code so you can just watch this whenever you want it again? And I was like, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I absolutely do.
Yeah.
Because I don't know when that's going to happen, but it's going to happen. And it's probably going to be a situation where someone's going to say, oh, I've heard about this movie. I was like, come, let's watch.
Yeah.
Step into my office.
Because just from the get-go, like, I didn't pay attention to the preview, but when we started watching it, it was like a Jim Cummings film. Written by Jim Cummings.
Right.
Directed by, starring. Oh, boy. This is going to be a journey, isn't it? Right.
Jim Cummings really wanted this movie to happen.
How much The Room is this going to be?
I want to know. So my question, I guess, is like, are those his teeth?
Thank you, because that is one of my notes. Like,
are those his teeth? Did he make this because those are his teeth?
Right? Did he make it because those are his teeth? Or was he like, okay, we gotta really bulk up the eye teeth so that the allegory smacks everybody in the face.
Yeah, right there.
The real monster is right here.
The real monster.
The real Wolf of Snow Hollow.
Is right here.
And
yeah.
If those are Jim Cummings' teeth, no shade on him. Everybody's
a no, absolutely. If those
I
are,
think they're his teeth.
That's actually my whole bag.
Yeah.
My whole bag is if those aren't his teeth, eh. If those are his teeth, I'm a fan of this entire movie. That's what the line is there. I am a dental hygienist critic. This is what I need for this to be.
Yeah, like I think those are his teeth.
Yo, those are his teeth.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure those
are
his
teeth. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Those were his teeth when his face was smaller and he was an adolescent in high school being made fun of because he's, there goes Jimmy the werewolf!
But then, okay, then at the very least, he is, as the director, making sure, like, did you get a good angle on the teeth? Are the teeth prevalent in the shot?
Did you know? Right.
Okay, yeah.
Good. Did you do it enough that everyone's like, oh, he's the fucking werewolf? Oh, it's definitely his ass.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So yeah, when I heard you were doing it, it was just like, oh God, finally.
Got to talk
a chance
about
to
it.
Talk with people.
This is my time to shine.
What is this movie?
How funny was this movie supposed to be?
Right?
It's billed as a horror comedy. Which
did
I was
they
surprised
make it
to
that
see.
Way?
Like, did you ever find yourself laughing out loud because of a joke they did?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All of you did?
Yes.
Yeah. But I feel like I more often found myself laughing because I was like, wait, was that supposed to be serious?
Or was that supposed to be a joke?
Right.
Those were the ones that really got me when he's like, why would somebody throw a beer bottle at a cop car? Right.
And she looks at him like, come on.
Fuck.
But that's true
everyone
too, because
would throw
a lot of the times I found myself laughing like when he was getting angry. And yeah. I'm like, is that supposed to be funny?
My problem and my biggest problem.
About that.
So because, and this is prejudice is what it is. Because of my own personal opinion about police officers, every time that he was like filled with impotent rage, I was just like, yeah, that's what they're like. Why is this funny?
But it's also like, I have several notes about that tagged with ACAB about different scenes in this movie. And one of them was when he's in the diner towards the beginning, right? After the first attack has happened with the other cops who are all varying levels of incompetent.
Yeah.
And it's like, so is his like annoyed but very flat affect just here to set up against his rage affect that will take place throughout the rest of the movie? Or like...
The thing is, like, I feel like I know this person. You know what I mean? Like, most angry, really angry people who have destroyed kind of their own lives and don't really want to admit that it's their fault.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. This guy just like feels like a completely real person. And that's why it's like, I don't know. Like, like, is this supposed to be a joke? Because I know this person. Like, it's just, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It's tough for me. This one's tough. This is tough because of the alcoholism werewolf allegory.
Yeah, the alcoholic father had to be an interesting watch for you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good times for me, right?
Yeah,
so,
right?
Like, I'm watching it, and I'm just like, yeah, no, this is what it's like. And it made me think, the entire time, it made me think of what you said, where vampires are abusive boyfriends and werewolves are rapists.
Yes.
I'd like to expand that more now to be like, vampires are abusive, are just toxic in general, but so are werewolves. But werewolves are just like, I'm a normal person who's here, and I'm you can see the good in me, and then I'm going to take a weird potion and turn into a werewolf, and like, I love to do it. I love to be a werewolf.
That, like, weird potion also is stored in a cabinet above the oven, just typically. Like.
But this movie isn't really about werewolves.
No. Well, yeah, no.
No. Well, it is and it isn't.
Yeah.
The entire movie up until, like, H.P. Lovecraft shows up. Like, the whole movie until, like, Skinny Shaggy. At the very end. Is it? Okay.
No. We're not gonna,
he looks a little bit
no,
like
No, he's a little way bit. Creepier.
A little yeah, way bit. Creepier.
And he wasn't creepy enough for me. But we'll get there.
Looking. It never got creepy enough.
It
me.
Never got creepy the enough. Liam
Mason
story. Also, way taller. I mean, you're a tall guy, but that guy seems way taller.
It made me afraid. And here's the thing that I don't like to admit about this movie that I admitted to Liam before we got started, which was, if there's ever someone way taller than me, that's not way taller, like taller but proportionate. Fine. Oh, you're just big, like Shaq. Oh, you're just big. Really tall and gangly, like Slender Man.
Mm-hmm.
Just scares the shit out of me.
It's creepy.
I mean, spoiler, like, in my opinion...
Are you afraid of short, fat people, too?
No, you just kick them. Okay. You just give them a little kick.
Okay.
The lollipop kids?
You just really? A little kick, and they're done.
They weren't fat.
Like, you think you're outrunning the tall, right. gangly man, but he's got reach, and so you're not really outrunning him. You're 7 feet in front, and he doesn't care. He's just going to bend over, and you're done. He gotcha.
I mean, I think it's basically some of the truly best scenes in this movie are what happens when he ends up at the taxidermist at the end.
Yeah.
And the maybe only genuinely frightening line in the movie is, would you mind standing up to your full height?
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, would I don't know if I want that.
What's great about that part is that neither one of them want him to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
They are mm-hmm. both afraid in that moment, which is one of the few super interesting choices that this movie makes that works. They make some super interesting choices.
All the time.
But they usually fall flat.
Yeah. I missed what he said that tipped him off. I missed it.
Was it his daughter?
So yeah.
Now, yes, is a couple things. So I have now watched this movie 3 times.
I want to watch it again because I'm positive there's shit I missed.
Well, because, so here's the thing, Jim Cummings.
Yes.
just a little critique on the writing. I think having watched this more times than probably anyone should, I feel like Jim Cummings has stuff going on in the writing here that he thinks is very clever. And like, if you're paying attention, you should pick up on. But honestly, I did not pick up on many things until the 3rd time. Like, because after the first attack, and this is one of the things that is the tip-off at the end, the police are holding people back, right? And there's a guy yelling from a car, like, hey, this is ridiculous, you took our phones, which is illegal, by the way, and I gotta call my wife. That's the taxidermist. And if you see him show up several times throughout the movie, he's always saying, he's in the montage when they're interrogating people too, and he's always saying, I gotta call my wife.
That's the tip off?
Because at the end,
he's not married.
He says, John says something about your wife, and he's like, oh, actually, I'm not married. And that's one of the moments for John.
But I think the other one is the daughter thing.
Yeah.
Because
the other one's a daughter thing.
There's no way that he could know that he has a daughter.
Which, to be completely honest.
Well, I don't know. It's a small town and he's the sheriff and he's been, like,
He's just, not the sheriff.
Well, he's the sheriff's son.
Yes. Yeah.
And he's been kicking in doors on the local youth. And the mom knew who he was.
Yeah.
Like when she pulled the stupid Santa Beard t-shirt off of him.
He also doesn't really have his daughter that much, right? Like his daughter is mostly with his wife. Or
no,
his
but I feel like his, like much like Hopper in Stranger Things, I feel like most of the town knows what his shit is.
What's going on with him. All right.
Right. Was my impressions, but maybe it's a little bit too big a town for that to be the case.
I feel like the thing that they want, that they're driving home initially, is definitely the daughter line, because I feel like there's like a, you can kind of see in him,
and it's
the realization after that.
It's my favorite. It's my favorite part of the whole movie when the werewolf attacks her and runs away, and she falls out of the car.
Oh my god!
And he's about to run after her, and she's like, "Are you not even going to ask if I'm okay?" And he says, No, I'm not gonna ask if you're okay.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, oh.
It's like, you're making my job harder.
You know, any idea what your mom's gonna say to me?
So, Dad! Yes.
Jesus!
However.
It's so good.
However, has anybody ever either had an experience, have you ever experienced it personally yourself, seen it from somebody else, or even seen it in a movie where somebody says, aren't you even going to ask me if I'm okay, when they're not, in fact, perfectly fine now? Like, that's a person who could not be okay, but is okay, that asks that question.
It also, defines who she is. She is his daughter.
Right.
All of the
shit understand that's
wrong
that
with
he
him
should. I understand that he should have been more concerned about her well-being, but as soon as you ask, aren't you gonna ask if I'm okay? Right. Not now, because you're fine.
Okay. And that's the reason why that's funny is that you'd think that she's a normal person,
like walk it off,
but like literally about 30 seconds after that line, there's enough that goes on that you realize she's a mini him. And at the end, when she punches that box, it's like, oh, got it, you're a werewolf now too.
And it's just such a hard double down on his part of, like, getting called out that you didn't respond that way, that you didn't say, oh, are you okay? And then it's like, it's a second for him to process. And it's like, and actually, no, not my job to ask if you're okay. So my job to protect the town.
This is the weird thing that narcissists miss. Sorry, this is the alcoholic narcissist. They miss this shit in that, like, their entire world is revolved around them and how, like, what's affecting them and what's happening with them. That they miss this weird connection where when they're supposed to do something for someone else that's not about them, when it's a social role they're supposed to fulfill, there's a disconnect. Mm. Like, they are being judged on how good of a father they are, and they miss that. They understand that they should be a good father, but they don't know why, because it doesn't directly reflect them or affect them, right? Them being a good father. But it does, but it doesn't. Mm-hmm. So that's why they have a problem. There's a disc. This doesn't make me look better or do anything for me being a good dad or a good husband. I don't understand. Like, but you are being judged. That's why they hate that shit so much. Because it's like, I don't understand why I have to be a good person. Like, it doesn't help me in any way. But so that's the problem.
Right. I mean, he is
interesting.
Strong in that vein.
Strong narcissism. Yeah, strong, not quite getting at narcissism.
Is Jim Cummings a good actor?
Was he this in Thunder Road?
Which he also wrote and maybe directed.
Wait, really?
Yep.
Oh, I have not seen that.
It's like 45 minutes.
He had like four of his movies that he's directed and written, he is also in.
So all the reviews...
This is a choice that he makes repeatedly.
All the reviews I've read about Thunder Road, which was like his big deal, right? Because everyone saw it and they were like, oh, look at this incredibly quirky filmmaker. Now, when... Because you've jaded me, Liam.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear quirky filmmaker, right? If I hear Wes Anderson's quirky, got it. He's made 20 films, 30 films, 40 films. Who fucking knows? He's made a lot of films and he's quirky. Got it. If this is your first film, if this is one of your first two films and someone's like, yep, he's quirky. I'm like, we'll fucking see. Maybe he just doesn't know how to do something and he had to work around it. And I seize that kind of here.
Mm.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's certain shots that I don't understand why they're done this way. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I hate the editing.
Okay.
You hate the editing?
The editing blows. in this movie.
Like, I thought it was quirky.
Moving scene to scene, like cuts and things
like that. Well, yeah, like so...
The above the oven scene?
No. What I hate is that we have the woman and her child getting attacked by the werewolf.
Yeah.
At night. Then we cut to the next day. And then... Like a scene somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
And then they cut back to that night like it's happening simultaneously.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's not because it's day and that was last night. But why did you split that up? There was really no need to.
No.
And then the guy comes back with the news that that happened last night, but we were just watching it and we watched those two scenes in between them. Then there's the shit after she scolds him in the cop car.
Yes.
And he gets out of the cop car, but then it cuts to him like it's supposed to be a smooth transition cut, like from inside the cop car to an exterior of the outside of the cop car. Mm-hmm. But it's not. He's getting out of the driver's side of his truck at home.
Yeah.
Or at like some dude's house where he's like going to be delivering more evidence. But like it was cut. It was cut that way like it was supposed to be a smooth transition. Mm-hmm. But it was not a smooth transition. It was actually a cut to a whole new scene.
Mm. Speaking of smooth transitions, Lauren, what you drinking?
Yes. Let's talk about that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I've been working on trying to segue into that, but you did better than me. Tonight was a night that I decided to shoehorn what I wanted to drink into the episode.
I'm gonna make this work, much like the cop. I'm gonna make it work.
Thank you.
I'm gonna make this work.
I appreciate you. 14% alcohol, can you tell?
Yowza! Which is actually that's the exact same alcohol content of Listerine.
Oh, there you go. Well,
I got
more.
Questions about
more
that.
About that.
There you go. Yeah. Well, the old Listerine before they nerfed it.
Chris, for Christmas, Chris bought me some cherry limeade malt liquor. And I wanted to drink it tonight. And it's red.
Mm.
There's a lot of blood in this movie.
There is.
Yeah.
So I have some cherry limeade, and it's not my Mountain Dew. It's not my Mountain Dew Code Red and lime vodka, which is my number one alcoholic cherry limeade. It's not Sonic, which is the number one cherry limeade.
Oh, naturally, it's so good.
But it is a cherry limeade.
14%, and it'll do.
Sonic cherry limeade is the only soft drink I've ever had where I was like, I would not put alcohol in this because it'll fuck it up.
It doesn't.
It's the, really?
No, it doesn't. Well, it depends on what you do. I did a berry vodka.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I'm having instant coffee that I snuck Jim Beam into, just like every good functional alcoholic I've ever met. That's it.
I myself, I appreciated that one of the alcohols that he chose to drink during the course of the film was an Irish whiskey.
It was actually just Irish whiskey.
Yeah, it was just Irish whiskey. It was obviously from the bottle and the label supposed to be Tullamore Dew.
Yes.
But it wasn't Tullamore Dew.
It just said Irish whiskey.
It just said Irish whiskey.
I tried to take a screenshot on my phone and it wouldn't, like, it was...
You can't really go wrong with this movie because any alcohol is
acceptable. Something. A warm six pack from over the range microwave. God. Whatever you want. Yeah. I thought he was gonna pull out a bottle of whiskey, but no, he pulls out a six pack and I'm like, bro, how long has that been in there?
There was a large part of me that almost had just a large bottle that of Rumple mints. Oh, God. With a dash of blue curacao, so I could just fucking drink Listerine.
So I am drinking also not Tullamore Dew.
Yikes.
I'm drinking Bushmills, which is good. It's
one
of the better, less expensive Irish whiskeys. It's the Protestant whiskey, but Protestant we'll forgive whiskey. Them. It's the oldest.
The Protestant whiskey.
It is the Protestant whiskey. It's the oldest continually functioning whiskey distillery in the world.
Yeah, Bushmills.
Yeah, Bushmills.
I am that Protestant whiskey.
You are the Protestant whiskey.
Yeah.
I'm the Protestant whiskey.
Solid.
How about you, Mike? What do you have?
So I was trying to nerdily, like, Google search some beverages that could work out for this. And I was like, I should just grab a beer. You know, I'll just stop by a place that sells six packs and figure out something that works. So I'm drinking Rheingeist Dad.
I'm drinking Dad.
The name of the beer is Dad?
It is a Hoppy Holiday Red Ale. So there's your blood right there.
Hey.
And yeah, I mean, because shout out to Robert Forster. Sad for this to be Robert Forster's last film. But
who,
you know,
is not Arlie Ermey?
Not Arlie Ermey.
They have a similar cloth that they were cut from, I feel.
Yeah, yeah. But Robert Forster, like, far more memorably less shouty in like, yes, Jackie Brown than, yeah, Arlie Ermey would have been in the same said role.
Yes.
So, the quick story about that. So, part of the trivia is that Jim Cummings, like, asks the agent for Robert Forster, hey, would you like to come do this? And they were literally expecting a polite no.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, sounds great, because, wow, he saw it as a father-son relationship film.
Well, he plays it like that, and he plays it well.
He does. They do so good, and then it's not that. And I feel bad, because, like...
Well, he was dead by the time it came out, so he never learned he was wrong.
It's just dedicated to him.
Yeah.
It is.
It is, in the memory of.
This is his movie.
Yeah.
And he died a good bit before it came out.
Yeah.
Like, because he died in 2019.
Like 30 minutes
ago. We are not blaming Jim Cummings, by the way. Just to make that clear.
Right. No.
No.
I got a couple questions, though. I got a couple questions, and they're not related. So,
all right, let's roll them.
Much like the dad and his son in this movie, who have different fucking last names.
Mm-hmm. Or how terrible John is as a dad to his father. Like the number of times he says, you know, because of the way you're dressed, and she is dressed perfectly reasonably, non-provocatively at all.
Like, and if it was provocatively, and still not a problem.
And also, exactly, yeah, like, also, Jesus, what also, a bad dad. Yes.
An emergency stash of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at you, Shaggy. I'm sorry, because I feel like you can shine some light on this.
I was in Al-Anon and Alateen. I'm ready.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Like, that's so sad to me.
Yeah.
That, like, sobriety, but there's an emergency stash of alcohol.
Yeah.
Because sobriety sucks.
I mean, it's probably really good for some people.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that it's good.
But I guess that's the thing. Like, if I went the road of sobriety, if I felt like if I needed to, and I went the road of sobriety, I feel like I wouldn't have an emergency stash. But I guess that's, mm-hmm, why I don't need to go the road of sobriety.
You know what's funny is I keep thinking you mean emergency mustache.
It does emergency sound like you're stash. Saying an emergency mustache. I feel like
slurry enough?
No, it makes sense, but all I'm thinking is emergency mustache. Like, to have an emergency stash, and I was like, ooh, what would I use that for?
Ordering baguettes. Oh, no, I'm at the bakery. Oh, no.
But I mean, maybe that's why I don't need to go the path of sobriety, but
mm-hmm. maybe.
All right.
So, So at a certain point, I want you to imagine that there's something in your life that you have absolutely no control of whatsoever. It just happens. It just happens. You don't have control over it. It just absolutely happens.
Hang on. Let me conjure this image real fast.
It just happens. And when it happens, right, all of a sudden, it's the best you've ever felt. As soon as it happens, it's the best you've ever felt in your entire life. And at a certain point, someone somewhere starts coming up to you and going, hey, you need to stop whatever it is that you're doing. Your first reaction is, fuck you.
That's
Do you
like
know
the
how
one
good
time...
this feels?
So my question about the werewolf thing is, I was very interested, and maybe we have talked about this before and I've forgotten, because it's been a while since we've talked about werewolves.
Yep, they're my least favorite horror movie monster because they're the ones that actually scare me.
Oh. Okay.
They're the ones that actually get me.
So,
because they're the ones that don't deserve it.
It's interesting because...
what?
That's what you said before.
You have said
like,
that. I do
remember
that.
Werewolves don't necessarily deserve it.
Oh, because
they
cursed.
Have the curse and they hate
it. And
they're
tortured. Oh. They're tortured, you know? Like
when
they can...
find out, yeah. They're super tortured. The ones that scare me are the ones that are like... Like, and they just were hanging out, having coffee, and then you rip off my face. Like, that's, you don't see it coming. You don't see it coming.
You see Jim Cummings.
Oh, God.
Get out.
And this kind of weren't.
How can you not with those teeth?
What big teeth you have, Jim Cummings.
Oh, my goodness.
All the better to let anyone do their job around here.
But my other question, and I feel like we might have talked about this, because you did say, like, werewolves are rapists.
He said werewolves are rapists. Okay. I think that werewolves are people that are normal people that because suddenly lose control.
That was new to me, the fact that it was, like, people were expecting, like these people in this town were like, oh, yeah, they're attacking women.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, is that werewolf lore? Like, werewolves go after women? So, that was new to me.
So they kind of touch on it in this movie. Werewolves in general, like, all mythological monsters come from a very easily explainable thing, right? Most of the time, werewolves were used to keep you indoors because at a certain point, you would leave the village and you'd be far away from the village, and wolf packs would kill you, but they won't kill if you have, like, a group of four or five dudes or four or five women or even four or five children. The wolves won't come and get you. The wolves will absolutely surround one person by themselves and drag them down to the floor and then go for their neck. They absolutely will. They absolutely will do that. However, most of the time they won't, because they're more curious and just as scared of you as you are of them. Most of the time, it's usually some weird serial killer that, like, follows you out to the woods because you're by yourself and then murders you in horrible agony and then comes back. Oh, and then everyone says, it must have been the wolves. It's definitely not Klaus, who makes our bread and is the only one who knows how to make our bread. It's not Klaus. We're all gonna move on.
But okay, no so one that's be not, alone with it him. Felt though. Like they were. It felt like they were setting this up to be like werewolves were going for the women, and that felt weird to me.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's fair. Given there are a couple of lines that I did write down verbatim because I was like, I need to have this at
hand. I also think that part of the werewolves going after women thing. Werewolves have often, I mean, they're always tied to the lunar cycle.
Yeah.
Oh,
but I mean,
I'm sorry. What? It's that they are, and it's.
Are you gonna fucking fault me for having a period?
No, I'm not faulting you for having a period. I'm saying that the thing that likes blood just on estrogen. The lunar cycle
that goes
might go after the person who is bleeding on the lunar cycle. Is what I'm saying.
Whatever. So
I don't think that's a thing. Like I do think. I do think it's a thing in Jim Cummings' mind, however.
Okay.
Because one of the lines I wrote down, literally laughed out loud at, was, do you think women have had to deal with shit like this since the Middle Ages? Exactly. That's the exact
reaction. I think that was actually supposed to be funny.
I hope so.
This movie...
because there's a couple of lines. This movie, and this is where I give this movie some credit. I don't know if it's tongue-in-cheek, but this movie is really woke. The first confrontation happens because of the use of the F slur. First of all, like, it's a dude being like, I'm sorry, I just hate that word.
Okay,
and so he almost gets into a bar fight. It's trying, is what I'm saying.
In a very forced way, though.
Yes, but everything in this movie is done in a very forced way.
Yeah, I just, like, I have notes about that at the top because that whole thing to me is very weird. Look. I refer to him frequently throughout my notes as fiance douche or douche fiance, because PJ, right, the guy who gets upset at the use of the F word is
on
like
on their way out.
Right.
He was literally halfway out the door.
Yeah.
Lingering in the door and called somebody the F slur.
It's just
they
so.
They were going.
But it's unbelievable. It's like he's like.
It was
so much of my brother were here.
It was
like,
not.
I don't buy that.
It was
I don't
not.
Buy that you're that person.
Well done. I don't think very little of this movie is well done.
Except the werewolf costume. That is badass.
Yeah, he would be great at Anthrocon.
Yes.
Serial killer furry. This is serial killer furry.
Oh my
the
god!
Movie.
It's everything I hate.
It's
I don't hate
killer.
Furries. I love them.
I really. I struggle with furries. I'm
I know
sorry.
You do. It's okay.
What if they were murderers, though?
They already are in my mind.
What?
Most of them are nice people.
Sorry. No, all I'm saying is that there were a couple of points. There was that the fight over that in the beginning. There was the line about, do you think women have had to deal with this since the Middle Ages?
Yeah, that was
and
good.
Then like the fucking fuck you look that she gives him after that. Like, are you stupid?
I thought that was good.
But then there was also the line about why would somebody throw a beer bottle at a cop? And she gives him the same look.
Another line that I guffawed at straight up. When do I get to be right about something?
Yes, yeah, that was
like,
good.
Oh, come on, dude.
The impotent rage.
But the beginning. So talking about the Essler and saying like... Mm. Now, did he go in? Did we learn ever why? Because he was very adamant.
We got the feeling that his brother was gay.
Okay,
because he says if my brother had been here,
okay,
like yeah. So he's got a gay little brother.
That's a
complete throwaway. I was waiting for him to be more of a main character, mostly because of that backstory that they threw in. But
he does recur, but even when he does recur, it doesn't make sense.
So no, it doesn't.
Like, so you believe that his character is someone that's not necessarily standing up for wokeness, Mike,
yeah,
but someone that's like, well, my brother's homosexual, so I get to fight people if they use the F slur.
He is a catalyst character. He is
He's the person who finds the body at the beginning of the Law and Order episode.
Yeah, but he's also... He's placed in the story in very specific points to just move things along. Like, when they go to... When John and Officer Robson, Ricky Lindholm, are following up with him and his mom, which also, like... Did he move there? I thought it was an Airbnb. Whatever.
Right, and
They're moving out, and... He's like freaking out about, I've explained this several times already, cops never get anywhere. And then he does the worst fake crying in the world. In the world, like where he just puts his face down and makes this noise and then is immediately fine 5 seconds later.
Yeah.
Right.
And then.
Although he does know what a thread ripper is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's just there to be like, I'm going to introduce this important plot element that moves the action along, and then, you know, that totally makes sense, and whatever, like, I'm sad about things. Like, he's a very weak character.
The writing in this movie is not good. It likes to think it is, but it's not.
Yeah.
Which is why I think Jim Cummings was trying to write a fairly woke script, I think that was the intention.
That makes sense.
I think it comes across as... sometimes a joke and sometimes insincere because I think he's just bad at his job.
But I agree. And it just leads to moments that immediately become bummers. Like when we meet the snowboard instructor, she is immediately awesome.
Yeah.
She has.
I thought that was the ex-wife.
Oh, that would have been interesting.
Because
been
we're cool. bitching you about the ex-wife. We're bitching about the ex-wife nonstop. And then we cut away to someone. We have no idea who she is. She's out of left field. Yeah. She obviously, we're paying attention to her, so you think she should be important. We haven't set the precedent yet that this is a device for the film. It just cuts to her, and I'm like, and she's like feisty and saucy and like kind of like ribby. And I was like, oh, this is all the shit that a guy like that would hate. But she seems like that's her personality. But also she's happy now. And it seems like she is happy now.
Yes.
So I'm like, oh, that's the ex-wife. No wonder he hates her. She's living her best life.
And then you see them like eating or something after the snowboarding lesson.
Having a good time.
And she's giving weird looks to the POV camera.
Her face
and it's like,
right.
That's him.
Oh, shit.
We're going to cut away and it's going to be Officer Jim Cummings.
And she's going to,
But it's not.
That's a thought. But also just immediately bummer like, oh, shit, now she's going to die. She's going to be the next person to die.
I didn't think that until she came in and said, all right, I'm going to head out. And I'm like, okay, you're done.
Okay.
Well, yeah, and that's a good point. There were a few things where the people directly addressed the camera. What the fuck was that about?
It was a very odd choice.
It's quirky.
Well, but no, like, Lauren, I very much agree with Lauren that there are only a few moments that it's like, oh, all of a sudden, the camera is now POV of the killer for no other apparent reason.
But not all the time either.
Or am I supposed to think...
Not all the time either. In the dining scene, he's there. He's the tallest man in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So she describes him as the tallest man she's ever seen,
mm-hmm.
with blood on the elbow patches.
And they're like,
these
oh,
fucking cops.
This guy got to be 6'5".
Are
right?
running around just like looking for everyone in the world. And no one's looking for, hey, Liam.
Jimmy the taxidermist.
Who's
he's super
the
tall.
Tallest motherfucker in town? Let's start there. Like, that is as much as everyone clowns him for, like, my kid could have figured this out. He's 6.
Right.
He's insanely tall, like monstrously tall. Well, oh, got it. Hey, where is a monstrously tall Hank? Like,
well, it's 6'5", man.
6'5"'s...
We know people taller than 6'5".
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, but 6'5"'s also remarkable. 6'5"'s
very,
like,
very
oh,
thank
yeah,
you.
There's that guy.
Are you 6'5"' or 6'4"?
I'm
6'5". I thought you were 6'4".
No, you're 6'4".
I'm 6'5".
No.
I am 6'5".
Well...
Just because it...
It could be because I know you, but you don't creep me out like the guy in this
because
movie.
Because you're proportionate.
That's because I'm fat.
Okay,
no,
I would
no,
say
no, no, no.
proportionate.
But I know people yeah. taller than 6'5".
That's actually one of the things that I loved about this movie. We get halfway through this movie and we're all like, it could be anyone. And that's when I'm like, got it. We're playing a long-term game of werewolf.
True.
Every time we arrest somebody and it's not them, somebody else dies.
But that's what bothered me. It wasn't a werewolf. It was a serial killer.
And
same thing.
And to further complicate...
What?
Same thing.
No, wait, what? Wait, okay, yes, wait, what was...
what?
Serial killer and werewolf is the same thing.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Serial killer is not a cursed entity, like...
Are they not, though? Like...
I do not view werewolves as serial killers. That's so interesting.
I want
wow.
you to imagine that there's
Sorry, everyone.
Something inside of you.
I swear I'm thinking appropriately.
That you...
That's okay. Mike already said that he wasn't a good dad to his father, so...
Wait, did I say that?
You did. You meant good dad to his daughter but
totally
you said good
that.
Dad to his
oh,
father.
Man. So like back to the...
I blame the dad beer.
Bad beer.
Of which
dad beer
had
fucked
two.
Me up.
Back to the alcoholism werewolf analogy, or allegory, sorry. Allegory. You have something inside of you that you can't control,
mm-hmm.
and it wants you to do this thing like that everyone around you says is awful and you shouldn't do, right? However, it makes you feel... like the best thing in the entire world. You've never felt better, and the stress just melts off you, and it's just this moment of euphoria. And it's just absolutely fantastic.
Oh, this is an interesting approach.
But the werewolf isn't aware of that.
Okay. Sometimes.
But,
some werewolf.
But the serial killer is.
You think so?
Yes. The serial killer is always aware of what they're doing.
Yes.
I believe that at a certain point, they didn't know what would make them feel that way. They just had these hints.
Because it almost makes me think like it's mental illness versus like...
a curse.
Yeah. But
alcoholics also kind of know that they should knock it the fuck off.
Yeah.
Okay.
But serial killers don't necessarily want to knock it the fuck off.
Neither do alcoholics.
Alcoholics don't necessarily
well,
either,
but
though.
In different ways. Like, okay. the... Okay, if you're going with the alcoholic werewolf correlation,
mm-hmm.
and I'm, like, even from a movie standpoint, with werewolves, let's look at, like... An American Werewolf in London, or Ginger Snaps,
Stop.
Or anything like that.
Actually, no, wait, that's a direct comparison. Okay.
Okay.
American
Ginger
Werewolf
Snaps
in London
was
one of our
Ginger Snaps
most
is,
listened to episodes.
It's true. Ginger Snaps is Werewolf is a serial killer. Werewolf in London is Werewolf is an alcoholic.
Yes.
So it depends on the werewolf.
Yeah, for sure.
You have to ask them.
Yeah, I guess. I mean...
I'm cursed.
Are
Lock
you,
me
are
up.
You aware
all
of
the
what
current
that,
mythos
wow,
was made
like,
up in 1940? So
yeah, we had talked about that earlier.
That yes. really has yes. kind of blown my mind, Shaggy, in a little
oh,
bit.
Oh no!
Like
I'm sorry.
The idea. No. Like the idea that, and I mean, maybe it strikes with like how we need to look at mental health. I mean, that's interesting. That's a really interesting perspective.
Right. I don't think that mentally healthy people like want to kill a whole bunch. That's just something like,
right.
hey, listen, like just like alcoholics don't want to wreck their lives.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to do that, right?
Right?
They would love it if they could just feel the way alcohol makes them feel absolutely all the time and everybody also was okay with it. That's what they'd love, but that's not going to happen.
But that's so interesting because it's like the whole time I viewed like werewolves as like these tortured souls.
Oh, they don't have to be.
But no, I mean, I still think they
are. Some of them don't have a choice.
Some of them don't have a choice.
I still think they are kind of tortured souls, but I wonder if maybe, like, serial killers are too.
What if you were born that way and you didn't want to be born that
but
way?
But if it's like a mental thing, like if it's what like if a mental health Dexter? Issue.
I can't say in the sense that I don't know the inner workings of another human's brain.
Right.
However, I will say that like... I know like years ago when I was kind of doing a deep dive into... like true crime podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
There was one that someone recommended to me called Sword and Scale.
Okay.
And it was maybe episode 2, maybe episode 3. They do a lot of, or they started doing a lot of recordings of actual serial killers talking to, investigators.
Okay. About their crimes, about killing these people.
Uh-huh. And I couldn't. I stopped like 10 minutes into an episode because I was just like, I cannot take the cavalier tone in this human's voice. It's like, yeah, I did this, and then I, you know.
Cavalier or joyous or kind of both?
Matter of fact, I would say in the terms of the person I was listening to, is just like, yeah, this is what happened, and then this, and then point B, and then point C, and this is just how it went. And I was like, there is nothing in the tone of voice of this person who's describing a brutal murder that indicates they have any emotional attachment to it whatsoever.
But don't you think that's a mental health issue?
I would not.
So that's like what I'm struggling with a little bit.
But so yes,
because
so,
it's almost so, like because I can almost like relate to. This is so funny. Like I can fucking relate to a werewolf more than I can relate to a serial killer. But then I'm like, well, just because I can relate to a werewolf more doesn't mean that. God, what the fuck am I saying? But like, just because I can relate to a werewolf more than a serial killer doesn't necessarily mean that they're not both fucked up in a similar way.
Right. They could be the same way. It could be.
So that's of blowing my mind right now.
I don't want to kill a whole bunch of people, but there's just something in me that, man, when I kill somebody, the click in my head.
It just feels good.
Woof. Just like,
oh my gosh, what is happening right now?
But it's still just some werewolves. Hashtag not all werewolves.
I'm still on the bandwagon, Lauren, that after your very first murder, you're just going to...
I'm not going to murder. That's the thing. That's the thing.
And that's what's holding you back.
But I'm not going to murder. Like, if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to do, like, the shit that they do in Promising Young Woman. Like, that is going to be my style.
Yeah.
I'm not a murderer. I am a lesson teacher.
Your sons are so lucky.
I mean, also an amazing movie, just saying. At the same time, I will say, like, even in this movie,
mm-hmm.
Lesson teaching moments are fucked up.
Okay.
Because I think maybe one of the darkest lesson teaching moments I've ever had, I've ever seen, not personally experienced, but seen, thank God, is when Jim Cummings, having exposed us to one of the many, many, many montages he loves so very much.
Right.
Most of which represent dreams. Certainly this one does.
Right.
Is woken by the town librarian, who he then tells, hey, you don't wake up a cop in a library. You're lucky that was me and not one of my people, because you know what happens? You'd be shot.
That's you would such be shot. A cop moment.
Right?
That's such a cop moment.
I have to say, like...
Every cop you know would do that shit. And that's what makes this a true fantasy movie. Is
but
not
maybe
the werewolf,
that's fucked up of me.
It's that the cop discovers the actual killer by himself, randomly. Actually, you know what? I believe that. I believe the cop stumbling into the suspects, the actual killer. Like,
no, that's kind of a tropey thing. That's like you find the find the guy that they think it is, and then you're just like cleaning up the paperwork, and you're like...
That's a trope? That's not real?
What? Can you say what you just said again? Like, that's... Again, sorry guys, you couldn't see my face. I just gave an excellent performance of what just happened. But
We all thought you had a small stroke. Like,
I did. It's like, you know, you're talking, you're just wrapping some stuff up, and then you have that moment where they say something, and like that light goes off in your head, and you just kind of like look away, and then you look at them again through the side eye, and you're like, huh.
Mm.
Can you say that again?
Something's weird, man. Can you stand up?
It's like that moment in Zodiac when it's like, not a lot of people have basements in L.A. Well, I do.
Oh, wait.
You know, it's like David Fincher could have done this movie better. And I'm not real high on David Fincher lately.
Same.
Mostly because of Mank and it's sucking. But
also, David Fincher seems like a jerk.
Yeah, kind of. But no, he could have done more with this movie than Jim Cummings. And I wonder...
I don't know, man.
Well,
I think this movie's better than it has any right to be.
No. No, this is exactly the movie it should be.
Well, do you think Jim Cummings would have made a better movie if he hadn't wrote it and directed it and starred in it?
No, so I think this would have been a better movie... without Jim Cummings in any one of those positions.
Sure. Oh, I thought he was fine at acting it.
I did not.
Wait a minute. That's tough, though, because he wrote it.
Yeah, sure. Somebody else could have written it better. He could have written a treatment for it and then handed it off to a good writer.
Also, just in terms of like two other like plot aspects that are just... They exist. They don't make a ton of sense. One, in general, is just the whole... like red herring heroin addict dude
smoking meth out of a Wrigley's chewing gum wrapper
or
whatever.
He's smoking meth in one scene, and then he's dying of a heroin injection in the hand in another scene, which I don't...
That guy's like severely like almost Chris Hemsworth's silhouette. Kind of like the guy in the bar in the beginning is almost Channing Tatum.
Well, I struggled a bit too because I thought, and we've talked, like I will make this known, I'm bad with facial recognition, but I thought for a while that like that was PJ. I was very confused for a while.
This is something that I hadn't thought about till now, and maybe this is again something I missed. The heroin junkie dude burns a body.
Oh yeah. He also was killing people.
Okay.
100%.
And we never touched on that.
Oh, yeah.
No, because
really
he's like, remember
that.
Her?
Yeah.
Found her buried there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I don't
no,
remember her.
No, I don't
her.
Recall that.
Who was that? Because it's a murder that we've talked about zero times in this movie.
Right. Even though after the second murder, the convenience store is putting up a sign that says, if you see something, say something.
Hmm.
Because that's just what 9/11...
More trying
and,
to be woke,
I don't know.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just didn't make any sense. It didn't make sense. Like, I got it. And I thought in my mind, like, oh, we got him. We're done. Like, we're done here. And that's the movie.
Well, and the first woman that died...
But there's 20 minutes left.
So right. Brianna, her genitals were gone.
Yes.
And I thought that was going somewhere.
That was good writing. That was hilarious. It was a little bit too set up, like bowling pins at the end of the alley. But when he was like... Was the victim sexually assaulted? Can you go talk to the other officer about that? What? I'm old, but I still know what's going on. Was she sexually assaulted? Sir, I'd really like you... Tell me! That part of the crime scene is missing.
Right.
So can you go talk to the other officer about that, please?
Right. Like, yeah, that was
that
really good.
That part of the crime scene is missing.
And you do then, like, in terms of that whole, it's done now... Then you get the whole weird
montage.
The coroner yelling at him about, like, my 7-year-old.
My 6-year-old
could have
solved
this
one.
Right.
Are syringes made out of silver?
Yes.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Oh.
I never knew that. I thought they were made out of, like, just like stainless steel or something.
I assumed this.
I'm also pulling that completely out of my ass. I don't know. Like,
you don't really know.
Of course I don't fucking know. Who the fuck knows that? Hold on. Give me 1 second. Are syringes... What are syringes made of? What are... Because aren't certain people allergic to fucking silver?
Yes.
Why the fuck would they make it out of glass, polymer, or stainless steel?
Yeah, there's not silver.
No one's
like, I would say stainless steel. Yeah, that's what I would have guessed.
Who the fuck makes
Has anyone
silver?
Been in an inflatable hot tub?
Oh, no.
No, that looked kind of gross.
It did look kind of gross. They also didn't have any jets on or anything.
So this is my last call, I guess. I don't know. Last call... Why were they wearing swimming togs in a hot tub at their cabin in the woods with nobody else around when they were obviously going to be having sex in said hot tub?
Yeah, they should have been naked.
They should have been naked. Sure.
That's something I don't understand. That's the thing. That's one of the biggest things. Like, she's on him in a hot tub. to the on him so much that at a certain point, the body language to me reads that she's going to try to blow him underwater, and I'm just like, that's not going to work out. But like she then
I mean,
he's
there
like,
can be an attempt.
I guess I'll go inside now. Did they have sex off camera?
Yeah,
and then she hung out in the weird jizz pool.
Because we're given also the indication that he was going to like
propose
to her that night. Yeah. So
yeah. No, I just like
yeah. There's no reason for them to have like
they needed to have the jets on. Like that's weird. Yes. That's weird. They needed to have the jets on. There was nothing.
There were no bubbles.
There were no bubbles, and that's weird.
It was just steam.
So wait, I'm sorry. Go back. Did they have sex in the pool and he got out to shower, or was he showering because they were then going to go in and have sex?
No, I think they were done.
They did have sex?
I assume so.
So she's hanging out.
The editing is bad in this movie, guys.
Also because while he is showering and we've already started to see that she is getting killed, then the temperature of the shower gets cold, and it's like, why did that just happen?
Right. That's
did the killer turn off the hot tub?
This means like, a couple different things for me. Like, number one, he stole a secondhand flashlight, the werewolf. The secondhand flashlight. He took it.
Oh, yeah, no, he got the seconds.
He got the seconds on the flashlight. So that's
you. Are you saying flashlight or fleshlight?
Say fleshlight.
That's what they said.
He says fleshlight.
He says fleshlight, but it sounds like flashlight.
Yeah.
So
the werewolf steals a vagina that has just been used.
Yes.
Like takes it away to whatever he wants to do.
It hasn't been used. It's been loved upon. He was going to propose. Do you think he was just using her, Shaggy?
And secondly, she was also hanging out in basically egg drop soup.
Yeah.
Just a giant.
I mean,
big
it was already in her. Like why be weird about it, man?
Yeah, this isn't like some Elizabeth Bathory shit. You get out of the hot tub.
Okay. So I have a second. I have a second last call, but I don't want to steal somebody else's thunder, so
no,
I will I will wait until you guys go and then come back around to
me. I think I said everything. Did you have anything?
I was just riffing off of Hev's last call. I don't know if I have one.
I don't know if I have anything either. Do you have anything, Mike?
I mean, I have...
You have so much.
Many notes.
What did you want to tell us that we didn't talk about?
Let's go.
Your page and nickel ride the ride.
Gift baskets don't stop firings.
Why did he fire him?
Because he spoke too loud.
Because they were talking too much in front of reporters. So then they have to go off and have a fist fight, like you do with cops, you know.
And then fired him.
And then fired him. Yeah.
No, you get to do one thing or the other. You don't get to beat him up and then fire him.
If you are filled with impotent rage, if you are a cop, you will do both.
Yes.
You will beat someone up for no reason, then plant evidence on him, then ruin his life. For no reason. Because you're filled with impotent rage, right? You know why I pulled you over today? I don't know, probably because you got all C's in high school. Like, what the fuck?
I think that's right up there. I think that I don't know what to do with the fact that every time someone that says something about a full moon or certain werewolf things, it immediately is then compared to aliens. Like, oh, don't pull that Area 51 crap on me.
He thinks like, Men in Black is a documentary.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, wait, but why are werewolves and aliens related? What other backstory? Because
they're both
are we
from the moon.
You know what? That's probably the best.
If you're a werewolf on the moon, are you always a werewolf? Like, if you're on the moon, wouldn't you always be?
Oh, yeah. Are you just always triggered?
Are you nonstop triggered?
I feel like there had to be a choose-your-own-adventure about that.
But only when it's full, right? But I guess
but
it's always
full
when
the,
you're
the thing
on
is,
it.
Well, the, yeah. No, it's not.
Ultimately, unless this werewolf is in a spacesuit that's going to protect them from the unfiltered radiation of the sun that would bake them to a tiny, tiny crisp.
Or the lack of air.
But it's not a silver bullet.
He's going to live forever. We'll put all the serial killers on the moon.
Okay, last thing. I really, really need to know this.
Okay.
Do the front seats in cop cars recline?
No, they don't. Because he was going to kick that thing back into the cage.
She's like, do you want to recline your seat and take a nap? And I'm like,
That line was written when he had never been in a cop car, didn't change it.
The other part of that is nobody gave her the right line reading, which is like, be a snarky bitch in this moment. Oh, yeah. Do you want to recline your seat? Like that, because she deserves that at least once, but they took that away from her.
Ricky Lindholm is a hero.
She was great in Knives Out. But in the only thing I've seen her in besides
this. Save the movie.
Oh,
she's real good. To the point that, like, and like, even his own dad is looking at her like, you should definitely be in charge. Like, we need you to. And then she got to be the sheriff.
And
it's the best.
And she has to cut out her own sheriff.
Yes.
Hole.
Which kind of makes me feel good, honestly.
I have a last call.
Do it, yes.
When his daughter, I don't even fucking know her name. Is it Ellie? What's her name?
Werewolf Jr.
Something.
Damn it. That's so embarrassing. Anyway, we all know who I'm talking about, right? His daughter. When she's making out with her boyfriend.
Jenna.
Yeah. Woof.
Right?
womp womp. When she's making out with her boyfriend and the serial killer comes and they look back and there's this whole fucking car behind them. I'm like, why in the fuck were you making out on the front seat? Like, you have this whole car. Yes, They should have gotten
in the back seat.
For sure.
There was a huge back seat.
I think it was like a Bronco. I think there was.
It was
like
a giant back seat. They had plenty of room
in the back and like lay down. But like maybe it's like that halfway lay down where your knees always have to be up.
It's better than where they were.
That's definitely better than the front seat. Fucking, you do not want that.
Really, so that's my last call. They needed to utilize that.
I've got
car better.
Two things, and they both relate to the end.
Okay.
There was a gun in the drawer, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because they never showed it.
Okay.
They just showed her lifting up. So he did put condoms in her sock drawer.
Yes.
On top of a gun.
Yes.
Because he's crazy.
Yes.
But she's also crazy?
Yeah.
Because she sees the condoms and she's like, oh, gross. And she's kind of like, oh, but also thanks. And then sees the gun and is like, oh. And then looks out to like, oh, shit, he gave me a gun. But does not run out and go, oh my God, no, stop. Doesn't call him, doesn't do anything. Yeah. Keeps that gun.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sure. That doesn't necessarily mean that she's crazy. She was attacked by a man in a werewolf costume.
Mm-hmm. But also,
while trying to fuck her boyfriend. So, like,
but
I don't see why she would be like, nah, thanks, but I'm good.
Right. From here on out, I'm only fucking in Wolfsbane. Like, right. That's it. But, like, The movie shows you that she is going to continue the line of alcoholic crazy werewolfism that is definitely infected her dad. Like, she has anger management issues. She is punching boxes for no reason. She's, well, not no reason, but still, like, fuck this bullshit. Like, also, like, she's yelling at her father in the middle of the serial killer werewolf fight, who is yelling back at her, and she's like, fuck you, and gets in the car. You're gonna take my ass to the hospital, fuck you, and gets in the car, like, she almost died, and she doesn't give a shit. What she gives a shit about is how angry she is at this motherfucker.
She also had to take care of his insanely drunk ass at one point after that.
Yeah, no, that's how, like, you go crazy.
Yeah.
And that's how you fall into... It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
It's how you fall in, because you realize, oh, this makes all the thinking stop, and I've had too many thoughts today. And like that's the fucking cycle.
Yeah.
I think that she's crazy too, and he made her that way, and that's the werewolf curse.
So, my actual last call.
Okay.
The last call.
But wait. No, go ahead. I don't have any. I just riff off all yours.
The last lines of dialogue of this movie.
Hmm. Ooh, the fresh meat.
Yeah. That's a weird note to end this movie on. Was the point of that he didn't turn around and just pulverize them, but continued down the stairs?
It could also be.
Is it that he gave her the gun, so he's done everything he can for her? Is it that those guys are also their own types of werewolves? Rapists. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the...
So, when as soon as he shot that dude in the face...
Until you could see the ground through his head, which I believe was requested by PJ.
Yes.
When he shot that dude so much in the face, and then all of a sudden we see him and he just releases this like it's a, he got it. That's his serial killer moment of werewolf ecstasy. that's him finally going like full fucking werewolf and killing that fucking dude and then releasing. In that moment, I said, oh! And right after that, I went, oh, god damn it. That's exactly what happened. Because I was like, oh, got it. Oh, wow. Who's the real monster? And as soon as I said that shit out loud in my mind, yes, that's real. I said that in loud thoughts in my mind. Oh, who's the real monster? And then I was like, oh, is that the question you're fucking asking me?
The whole movie.
God damn it. The whole movie, they're asking me this. And it finally then makes sense. And I'm like, motherfucker. So, yes, I believe that if this is the movie that's literally a 1 hour long, who's the real monster? The werewolf? Was it mankind? Who could it be? Yeah. After that, yeah, I absolutely believe. And I think we're all werewolves. Secret downstairs in our tummies. Like, that's fucking fuck. So, to answer your question, if I could.
Yeah, yeah, you can answer my question.
Yeah, I think it asks that, because the whole goddamn movie was like that question. And so at the end it was like, oh, and furthermore! Like, that's...
College boys are also werewolves!
Like, literally the sequel to this is fucking daycare, and we're like, look at them! Tiny werewolves! Like, fucking... Billy stole Susie's lunchbox with a monster! Like, fucking...
The only conceivable sequel I would watch. Any other sequel, even the thought of it, it's garbage. Anything that isn't that,
it's garbage.
Forget it.
But it's, it has to be narrated by Shaggy.
Yes.
Yeah. Have we started reviewing this yet?
No.
Yeah, let's go. Sorry.
Who's going first?
Me. 3.5.
Oh, wow.
3.5.
Tell us about it.
Get on a high one. So... I was solidly in favor of this movie because I was like, oh yeah, I know that guy. I've seen that guy at the meetings. Like, I know that dude.
No.
Absolutely.
What?
Is it common to get kicked out of the meetings?
No.
Yeah, like, I was going
to say. What do you have to do?
How bad do you have to...
What do you have to do to get kicked out of an AA meeting when you come in?
Show up drunk immediately. Show up under the influence of anything and you're out. You're
okay.
Done.
That makes
you're
sense.
You're fucking out. You are done.
But are you then like excommunicado?
No.
No, just that one day.
Just that one day.
Come back when you're sober.
Because the idea is it's one day at a time.
But it's implied in the movie that it's like, no, you're gone for good. Like, find a new group.
But then he shows up again at the end.
No, no. It might be, I mean, whether or not the implication is there. You showing up to...
Because of the implication.
So, if you show up drunk, you're done. You're out. You're gone.
Sure.
If you show up
because of the implication.
And you try to fight somebody, it's like, hey, listen, is this the group you want to be a part of? Because now everybody has to deal with the idea that their safe place that they come to like, let it all out...
Is not safe.
Is not safe, yeah. And that's a huge problem for everybody in the group. So, do you want to go to another group? There are other groups.
Yeah.
Why do you introduce yourself at the beginning of an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting?
Well, everybody does,
yeah,
right?
That's a...
I don't... This is a diff... Man, we ain't got the time.
That just always struck me as weird.
So Alcoholics Anonymous has a... And I didn't know that we were going to
get... Well, it's
not
like first and last name, right?
No, but it's like, I'm John. But that's not my name, is what I would do.
So basically, at a certain point, it becomes a ritualized affirmation, right? If you affirm that this is part of my identity, mm-hmm. right? Then you also now can't go back. If you continuously affirm it, it's hard for you to get... It's hard for you to escape that channel, right? Which is why Anne Frank has that stupid fucking line, right? Where, like, they say that alcoholics are always alcoholics, even if they're dry as my lips for years, even if they're stranded on a small desert island with no place in 2,000 miles to buy beer. And the thing is, like, the reason why you affirm that as part of your identity is because that way you can't get out of that channel and go, I'm not an alcoholic. It's just booze. I sometimes lose it a little, which is the thoughts that got you into the place that you are right now in the first place. Bro, some people are bad drunks, and I don't mean bad drunks as in like, hey, you drink too much. I mean bad drunks as in you shouldn't drink.
Right.
Other people, they can drink all fucking day, and like, they're fine, it's okay, it's all right. They know how to handle it. They can have a couple beers and be done. Some people cannot do that. And some people, when they even have a couple beers, turn into absolute bad people. Nightmares.
Yeah. Right. Bad people.
Right, so there's that. That's why they say it, is that it's part of the affirmation, so they can link it to their identity so that it sticks longer, so that when they are presented with the opportunity of beer again, they go, no, I can't, I'm an alcoholic. They don't go,
oh,
it's just one, I'm fine.
But because, it's like, I'm John, I'm an alcoholic.
Right.
Mm.
It also plays into part of...
Should they change the name then?
What?
To what?
Because they're not anonymous. Oh,
because then you introduce yourself in the beginning.
You do. Hi, my name's...
What's the anonymous part?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people...
You're not supposed to disclose... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I don't know this. I'm just speculating on, like, what we've already said. Like, if you're not disclosing your last name, like...
Yeah, you're not disclosing your last name, and it's not going outside of that group. And I think that's where the anonymous part comes
in. I just feel like it's weird that in a small town with alcoholics where, like, everybody knows who you are, I think it's a little funny to call it an AA meeting.
It'd just be an AA meeting?
Yeah. Just an alcoholics meeting.
Well, that's just a bar.
I mean,
where everybody knows your name.
Hey, Norm! You're not driving the mail truck after this, are you, Norm?
That was Cliff. Cliff was the mailman.
I don't remember.
I don't.
That's for
I've
you.
Never
white
watched
people.
Cheers.
Get out of
that dinner he is alone.
A brilliant sitcom.
It was good.
Fantastic.
It really was good.
Okay, so okay.
You're 3.5.
3.5.
Oh yeah, 3.5. Okay, so. I forget, we just went full circle. I'm sorry. Really good representation of someone who's fucked up their life but doesn't believe it's them that's fucked it up and is mad at everyone else for doing it. Doesn't quite understand that all of his choices reflect directly upon him. Like, all of his... And this is something that's really tough for a narcissist to grasp, and it's really easy for narcissists, really, really easy for narcissists in general to become substance abusers. Like, in fact, AA meetings are filled with them. At a certain point, they don't understand why their relationships with other people matter. They don't understand why they're being judged on that relationship. And so they try to figure out how to make it work, but they get in their own way. So, yeah, absolutely. This dude, impotent, rage-fueled, narcissist, alcoholic. I absolutely know who this guy is. And so, great performance, I felt, personally, by this dude. If you're looking at this and just like, that person's not real, I'm here to tell you. They are real. They're out there. You don't know them because you're attracted to good people. So I like that a lot. That's most of it. I liked the quirky filmmaking, as if most of these choices were intentional. If they were intentional, I'm giving tons of credit. The negative 1.5 is because I don't know that they were.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that a lot of the shit that was good about this was intentional. Mm-hmm. And also, I think maybe I've stopped being funny or recognizing what funny is, because I saw the jokes and I was like, I know that that's a joke. And that's it. That's what happened to me in this movie. Every joke that was a setup that was like a mile long was like, I know this is a joke. And, like, we just kept going. And I got very Letterkenny vibes off it. That's another show where I'm just like...
I got a lot of Letterkenny vibes off of it.
And I think maybe that's just what all small rural towns are like.
But he's not Canadian. No, I was surprised to see that. Because I got super Letterkenny vibes out of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's just small town
comedy.
Because a lot of it, I was just like, I get that this is the joke. Ba-rum-bum-bum. Like, literally, I felt like Scrooged. Ba-rum-bum-bum.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I got. So, yeah, 3.5 for me.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll give it a 2.5.
Oh, you took mine.
You got to come up with a different number now.
Nope.
I've claimed it.
Sticking to it.
So
right in the middle on this one.
I do want to give a shout out, and I don't know if this is appropriate or not, because I don't know that the opening credits were shot by the same cinematographer who did the rest of the movie.
Oh, man, they were beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes the opening titles are done by, like, different people.
Somebody watched Fargo.
Is that right?
Did they do that in Fargo?
No, it felt very Deakins-ish.
But even a part, like, whether it was or whether it wasn't, I thought that it was cool that they had... a female cinematographer.
Yeah.
That's a rarity. In like the whole percentages that, you know, you go through with, like, how many women directors are there? How many women, like, the actors, the writers? Cinematographers, women are wildly underrepresented. And Natalie Kingston was the cinematographer on this, and I thought that she did a good job.
What a name. That's a badass name.
Yeah.
Natalie Kingston.
So good job, Natalie. But I again think that this movie could have been better if you took Jim Cummings out of it.
From everything. Wow.
So it isn't so much that, like,
but he is the movie.
Yeah.
Like, this is a vehicle for Jim Cummings.
He should have
So what, he just knocked the car off and you got the wheels left? Is that what we're saying?
No, what I'm saying is he came up with an idea for a movie.
Uh-huh.
It was very decent.
Yeah.
This idea for the movie.
Yes.
You write a treatment and then you give it to somebody who knows how to write it. And then you find somebody, like, this guy should be a producer. He shouldn't be an actor. He shouldn't be a writer. He shouldn't be a director.
Hilariously, the only thing he wasn't on this movie.
He wasn't a producer because he didn't want to shop it out to anybody else. He didn't want to say, okay, this is my movie, but I want you to write it. I want you to direct it. And I want you to star in it. If you swapped him out of any one of those three roles, it would have been a better movie. If you swapped him out of all of those roles, it could have been a really good movie, but it wasn't, because I don't think he is capable of performing the role that he wanted that role to be. I don't think that he was capable of writing the movie that he wanted to write. And as a director, I don't think that he was capable of striking the tone that he wanted to strike with it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like, I get, and I, and Shaggy, I respect your perspective on the accuracy of his performance in that position, but the none of it quite felt like not a performance for me. Like, he was...
No, agreed.
He was hitting the right notes.
Agreed. At no point did it feel like... You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. At no point did it feel like, well, this is life.
Yeah, like, he was... Like, he was reading the music and hitting all of the right notes, but, like, a better piano player would have played those same notes better.
Right.
Right? Like, there is a difference between hitting the notes and playing the part.
Right. Like, a better person, I'm sorry, a better actor would have fallen on that stove that then immediately shattered in a way that didn't make me go, that's not how that works.
Right.
Right.
You don't just kind of slip and fall on an oven and it just shatters into a million pieces.
And then you break it.
Otherwise, that oven would break under the pressure of all that heat inside.
100% tempered glass. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or not in this case, apparently.
Right, right.
Well, like, you never see him bake anything.
I feel like there was one of two things that needed to happen for his role to be, like, fantastic, because I agree with you 100%, right? One thing is that either the movie needed to be different, where he was smart enough that he was bantering and playfully, like, moving around. Like, when he was, like it was so close when he goes, the autopsy guy, the coroner, what the fuck's wrong
when
with
when he slaps him. That was hilarious.
Yeah. Slaps him, right? And then, like, they get into a fight. But, like, the other bit where it's like, you threw the beer. And his face drops because he did.
And he doesn't say, what beer? He says, no, I didn't.
Yeah. Right. No, I didn't. Like, literally, there's no clues. There's nothing whatsoever. He, master fucking sleuth, says, you threw the beer. And then his face drops and says, no, I didn't. Someone please tell Gary he's fired. And then walks out.
So
if there were more moments like that, I could understand why he was so high key and that there was another level behind the level he was playing, which is what we're both seeing.
Yeah.
Which is actually the actor.
So
I needed that, or I needed him to have a real life moment.
And there needed to be better writing in that, like, we needed to recognize that the taxidermy guy was a background character before he was the killer.
Yes, please. Yes. 100%.
Because
that took, for me, it really took until three watches to see, like,
oh, this guy shows up all the time.
Yeah. Nonstop. Mm, he's there.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like, you can't just have one montage of all of these nameless people being interviewed, and then an hour and a half later, one of them is the actual killer. Yeah. Like, that doesn't work.
No. Yeah, that was my issue, too.
So,
I still want to know where, like, red-faced big guy is.
Yeah, right?
Do you want to go? Do you want me to go?
I'm fine with whatever.
I'll go next, because I also have a 2.5. I'm also giving. Is it cool if I move?
Yeah,
I guess.
You can still talk more about it, but let's.
I'll allow it.
Let's move. Well. Let's move on. No, I'm also. I'll be fast. I always am. I'm also going to give it a 2.5. What?
We like fast women on this show.
It's a joke. It's a good joke. You weren't making the joke. I was making a joke about you not making a joke by going brum-pum-pum.
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 No, I'm also giving this movie a 2.5. A lot pissed me off.
Yeah. That's also not to say that I wouldn't watch it again, because I think I would.
I think I would,
I just don't know why I would.
I want to.
Yes, mm-hmm. I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree, because a lot of this movie, I was like, because remember with Krampus, I was like, I didn't have a lot to say about Krampus, but I liked it, and I gave it a good score. This is kind of it. But it's like I'm kind of going off of my gut again, where I was with Krampus, and this is a 2.5. But honestly, like, a lot about this movie pissed me off. I felt like there were a lot of, like, misleading things happening. The dogs in the beginning with Brianna.
Oh, yeah.
It was like they were very much trying to set it up in a certain way, and then they had this guy in a fucking suit being the killer.
It's a really good suit.
Amazing it was suit. A really good suit. The but best suit. I felt like they were trying so hard to mislead us. And then when the ending happened, it was fine, but it wasn't satisfying. It wasn't like, it was very much like, oh, it's just this guy in a suit and he's a taxidermist, so it makes sense. But I feel like they could have built that up better.
But also kind of makes sense because he has claws on his gloves that can literally cut glass because he does it in the car.
Okay.
He can punch through a window and it's not going to fuck up his hand. Apparently the gloves are that good. And then when he can hold someone down with his teeth, because that was the puncture wounds were. So his muzzle definitely works.
Yeah.
And he'd be the king of Anthrocon.
And then also, yeah, aww. So good. But the only part that doesn't make sense is all that other shit I can, like, fine. Like, yeah, he's pressing down with his, like, upper body strength through the muzzle onto her neck, right? or like, you know, he had really great gloves with lots of padding in it and the knives are perfect. I've seen, like, they look good. Great. Anthrocon, hooray. But he goes to attack that girl, the snowboarder.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And bites her arm off?
And bites her right. arm off.
Yes. Yes,
that doesn't make sense.
No. Nope.
Sure doesn't.
He would have to have something fucking nuts.
Who's to say he doesn't, Fred?
I mean, who's maybe, to say he I mean, like,
maybe
but,
he was on coke.
Maybe it was his penis.
Oh, in that moment, it was meth heroin guy.
There it was go. Meth heroin right. guy. Ain't I that? Have no idea. But like, is there? There's but there a taxidermist tool where he runs up and like just fucking bolt cutters off your goddamn
I mean, maybe
arm?
Maybe he sliced it off. I don't know. But that was the thing. Like, I felt like they were trying so hard to mm-hmm. mislead us the whole movie that it just kind of pissed me off.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that's about all I have to say about it. So, like, I'm kind of going with my gut again on this one, like I did with Krampus.
Right.
Because I enjoy, like, to a certain extent, I enjoyed this movie. Mm-hmm.
And there's no way you get shot and then not fall down. Like, it doesn't matter what Kevlar you wear. If you get shot,
you fall down.
It's still like, fuck.
Never mind getting... How long can you survive after being stabbed in the diaphragm?
Right.
With a big knife before you just suffocate because you can't breathe now.
Right.
If you're on adrenaline, until the adrenaline wears off.
Yeah, but
the muscle that lets you breathe has been stabified.
Right.
Just saying.
Well,
I feel like that's a thing.
His adrenaline got him to the back of the house, and then all of a sudden he ran out of oxygen and passed out.
So that's where I am. 2.5, Mike.
2.5.
Your turn.
So, 2.5. Okay, interestingly, just over the course of some of this discussion, I was pretty much set on 3, dead center. Mm. I am going to go with a 3.25.
Right.
So the 3 was very much because of a lot of what's been said, I kind of put this in a movie, and even especially horror movie category, I have in my own head of movies that I go back and forth on 50-50. I watch it one year, and I'm like, that was great. I watch it the next year, and I'm like, what a terrible frickin' movie. Movies that
you
fall
can say
under
fuck
this,
here.
That's true. Terrible fucking movie. movies that fall under this category would be like Event Horizon.
Mm, yeah, totally. I've seen that
and,
once.
In the Mouth of Madness.
I've seen that once.
And yeah, like watch it once, like, damn, there was
is
a
the
lot
problem
going on.
With this movie the lack of Sam Neill.
It could be. Honestly, okay. If Sam Neill were in this movie, solid 3.5, maybe even a 4.
Would you make him Robert Forrester's character, or would
no.
you make him Jim Cummings' character?
He's a new character completely. He's an FBI agent who finally has gotten tipped off to what's going on and comes in late in the game.
Only if he comes in, I want him to come in to be like some sort of like weird serial killer werewolf specialist.
Yes.
But with the accent from Peaky Blinders, where he shows up.
You people, thank you. You know, werewolf.
Yeah, I'm absolutely on board with that.
I'm here to tell you, I'm all a werewolf.
That would make this movie a solid 3.754. There's so much. I agree a lot with Lauren in terms of the frustrations that don't make sense. I don't know how much the movie's really trying to be like woke about things or whatever and just kind of falling flat. It's definitely trying to be too clever and not succeeding many, many times.
Yeah.
But there are so many things in this movie that make me laugh, whether they're meant to or not, and make me and made me immediately after watching it the first time say, yes, give me the code to the digital copy because I need to rewatch this.
Right.
And I will watch it again. It won't be for a while.
I mean, can you imagine what this, like, the amount of better this movie would have been if Robert Downey Jr. were in the Jim Cummings role?
So, probably.
I feel like that's the tone that he was going for with, like, the insults and the snarky assholeness that he was laying on his coworkers. But he doesn't have personally the charisma to still make you root for him.
What do you do with Robert Downey Jr. finding out about the message on a specific phone answering machine and then ripping that specific phone answering machine out of the wall, wrapping the cord around it? Like, this is evidence. We take it now. This is how this happens. Not like, sir, that's just in a database somewhere.
Right.
Like,
it's not an answering machine. That is an answering service.
Yes, yes.
We can get you that file.
So Jim Cummings' character is like, yeah, that character does that. Because no normal human does that. Ricky Lindholm's looking at him like, what the fuck are you doing? But, yeah. Like, Jim Cummings not being in this movie, it's definitely going to be more... It's going to be a better movie quality, period, in terms of someone walking away and being like, that was interesting.
I feel like you either got to go one parallel, like one polarity or the other. You either need RDJ or you need Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell would be too much for this movie,
right?
I think.
This, but they have to make a choice. You can't have Jim Cummings who decides he wants to be both.
Well, he's just at the door. I hate to ask you this. Will you please stand up to your flight?
I mean, like,
I was afraid of that.
Like, somewhere between Elf and Stranger Than Fiction, Will Ferrell.
Oh my god.
There's got to be a sweet spot for Will Ferrell where he could do this.
I guess. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. 3.25.
3.25. That's great. We should move on and figure out what we're doing next.
He whispers at him, you come over here and tell me it's an unlicensed hunter. You
so
come
let's
over
roll.
Here and look at me.
Let's roll. Number
388. 388. Ooh. 388. Wow.
When a Stranger Calls.
Ooh.
Ooh. Lauren. Ooh. That's a my ad.
That's you. That's you.
And that's, I added it for the, like, the more recent one, but it actually, the original is with Carol Kane.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
So we get to watch that from the 70s.
Liar!
Well, thank you all for joining us this week. Mike, thank you so much.
Thank you very much to Mike McBurney.
Absolutely. Come back.
We'll see you all next week with When a Stranger Calls. And until then,
please podcast responsibly.
Stay Friday.